Welcome to the MJA podcast. My name's Kate Swanell and I'm the news and online editor for the Medical Journal of Australia. This morning I'm chatting with Dr. Catherine Yelland, who is Director of Medicine at the Redcliffe Hospital in Queensland. Dr. Yelland, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
You've written an editorial for an upcoming issue of the MJA on avoidable and premature deaths in nursing home residents. How well are we looking after our aged care residents?
Well, I think on the whole, Australia does very well with care of older people in residential care. But we can always do better, and this is a very vulnerable group. And when we find that they are coming to harm, obviously we need to look at what it is we are doing and see if, in fact, we should be looking at that more carefully, reporting it more carefully, putting in interventions to reduce harm to older people, ensuring the quality of the care that we give them.
You were writing in response to some research that we're also publishing from Ibrahim and colleagues that were looking into external cause deaths in nursing homes. What did their data tell us, and what should we focus on for the future, do you think?
One of the concerns is the number of what might be considered not natural deaths. By that, we mean deaths that may be indirectly related to the general frailty of the person, but they didn't just die from their heart disease or respiratory disease or cancer. Many of these patients had falls or other events which were potentially preventable.
The research, I think, found that the majority of those external cause deaths were falls, but there were also things like choking, drowning, suicides as well was a significant number.
The concern is that they had a fall in the nursing home or they were in some way restrained, which is always a concern.
Yes.
And there was a significant injury related to that restraint. Or, of course, the issue of choking. You know, were they eating an unsuitable diet? Were they not adequately supervised while they were eating? And then the other significant issue there were a small number of suicides.
I mean, we're talking about 15% of all deaths, aren't we, the external causes? And most, 82% of those come from falls. What are we not doing that we should be doing when it comes to prevention of falls in nursing homes?
Falls prevention is a really difficult area, both in hospitals and in residential care facilities, because you've got a lot of frail older people who are just intrinsically at high risk of falls. If we stop them walking and we stop them moving around, we can prevent a lot of falls, except for those where patients fall out of bed.
Yes.
But, of course, if we do that, we decondition them, they get weaker, they lose more muscle strength and are then at an even higher risk of falls.
Yes.
Or we reduce their quality of life, that they are essentially not able to move around. So falls in residential care facilities particularly are always a balance between what's acceptable risk. Now, the things that we can do to reduce the risk of falls are to look at medications. That's a particularly important one because we know that things like sedative medications are used in residential care facilities perhaps more frequently than they should be, and they're certainly associated with falls. We need to make sure that the environment is as safe as possible, that there are no hazards for patients, residents to trip over, that as much as possible people are supervised when they are getting up and moving if they're at high risk of falls, that they've had a good assessment about what might be suitable walking aids for them, and that in very high risk patients, particularly those with cognitive impairment, that we provide a well-supervised environment so that although patients can get up and move around, they're supervised. So all those things are ideals and often quite difficult in nursing homes with limited staffing levels.
The authors of the research called for a national framework, an overseeing body for aged care. Do you agree with that call?
Well, we have many checks and balances on aged care, but this highlights the need to monitor these so-called unnatural or excess deaths more closely, and that some of those governing and supervisory arrangements probably need to be tightened up a bit.
Ibrahim and colleagues also mentioned that only 3% of these so-called unnatural deaths are being investigated by coroners. Do you think that's something that needs to change?
Coroners on the whole will look at deaths where there's thought to be some public interest.
Mm.
Now, of course, that's important because they can't investigate every single death. A lot of deaths are discussed with or reported to the coroner, but no further investigation is undertaken. It's accepted that the death is in the category of being reportable, but there isn't really a need to conduct an inquest or further investigation. Now, what we don't want to see is that just because people are older, frailer, nearing the end of their life and they're in residential care, that that's sort of dismissed as being not unexpected, not in the public interest to investigate further. When we look at the total numbers of this, it may well be that, in fact, there's a pattern emerging that the care that we're giving people is not optimal and that they are at increased risk, and that there needs to be closer attention to how to prevent these falls. For example, issues of patients who die either directly or indirectly as a result of restraint procedures is an important one. Now, what used to be acceptable to have patients directly or indirectly restrained in chairs, you'll remember the sort of, the tray that was attached to the chair.
Yes.
The patients who had, were tied into chairs to stop them getting up. We now know that that sort of restraint is actually quite dangerous. Had we not done those studies, we would not have known that. And in fact, we know that a general no restraint policy is safer on the whole for everyone. So what I'm suggesting is that to simply say, well, these things happen, these are old, frail, vulnerable people, it's going to happen, is probably not really good enough. It's not the way that we want people to die, and it also indicates that perhaps we don't care quite enough. I think the question about choking is also important. This is a very unpleasant way to die, and it suggests that we need to be more careful about good quality swallowing assessments, often needing a speech pathologist to assess the person, that we need to be training staff about how to feed those patients who, those residents who are not able to feed themselves, that we need to make texture modified and diets available. Mm. And to just generally pay a little more attention to the nutrition issues of older people.
Thanks so much for your time.
Pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.